Chris Abert, you're the founder and director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance. It's my understanding that the Indiana Recovery Alliance's needle exchange program was just renewed by county commissioners on Monday. What do you feel about the needle exchange program being renewed in Monroe County?
Sure. So, yeah, the syringe service program of the services that we offer was reapproved by the county commissioners for the next 2 years. So it's a huge relief, in that we don't have to worry existentially about whether or not we're going to be able to continue. But B, we can also focus on these other services that we're offering. I think a lot of people don't understand that the syringe services aspect of what we do is actually a very small but important part of the overall services. So we're really excited to be able to continue those services, but also be able to expand in other areas where, we're trying to combat the negative effects of the opioid epidemic.
There's a naloxone training at the Monroe County Public Library on Saturday. Can you tell us a little bit more about that training? What exactly goes on during a naloxone training? And for some of our listeners who aren't aware, could you explain what naloxone is?
Sure. Naloxone is an opiate overdose reversal medication. It's very simple and safe to use. It only has one use, and that it reverses overdoses. So it can't be abused. It's very, very safe. So we have trainings. Anybody, any community member can come into outreach hours at any time and get naloxone and get the training on how to administer it. And then 5 or 6 times a year, we'll do a more comprehensive training. And that's about 2.5 hours for this comprehensive training. And it includes the ability at the end to be able to distribute naloxone yourself if you complete the training successfully. So rather than just being, like a 10-minute training on how to use it, it's a 2.5-hour training about, what naloxone is, how it works physiologically, what are the laws that surround it, what are signs of overdoses, very, very in-depth instruction on naloxone. And the good thing is if you are part of an organization, rather than continuously having to send people to the Indiana Recovery Alliance to get trained, you yourself can then do that training with your employees. You can do that training with family members who might be using drugs, and friends can share the information and the actual medication with each other. We're very limited funding-wise and limited staff-wise on how much reach we have. But with getting all these other community members trained, we can expand that reach greatly. That we've trained hundreds and hundreds of people in this more comprehensive training. So we're excited to continue to offer that as a service to the community.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the reauthorization process? Is this something that the Indiana Recovery Alliance has to apply for? Or is this something that commissioners have kind of requested from the Indiana Recovery Alliance?
Yeah, so this is mandated from the state level that every 2 years, the commissioners, basically what happens is there is a health emergency declared by the local health department, and then the commissioners approve that. So in Monroe County, we have a hepatitis C emergency, a state of emergency for hepatitis C. And then the next part of that is, as with any other contract for the county, the commissioners are asked to sign a contract for the Indiana Recovery Alliance to actually do that work to combat the spread of hepatitis C specifically, but also to ensure that, Scott County-type HIV outbreak doesn't occur in our county, to help people who would like other services to receive those services, whether that's food, housing, insurance, treatment. So there's a whole plethora of services that come along with that, but it's based around hepatitis C rates in Monroe County.
And when you say there's a hepatitis C emergency, what exactly does that look like, or how is that quantified, I guess?
Yeah, so there's no... that's going to be up to each individual municipality, what they consider hepatitis C emergency. So just to give some rough numbers, I believe it was somewhere around in the last 5 years, 200, something like that, new hepatitis C cases. Now, if we just quickly do the math on treatment for those cases at about $90,000 to $100,000, it quickly adds up to tens of millions of dollars. And we're just one county in a state that's being hit with this these rising hepatitis C rates. I think a lot of listeners probably aren't aware that hepatitis C is the number one infectious disease in the country. There are more people with hepatitis C than the next top 10 infectious diseases combined, which are not tuberculosis and HIV, all these more commonly known infectious diseases. One of the reasons that a lot of people aren't aware of this is because the population that suffers the most has historically been marginalized populations, Latino, African American communities, IV drug users specifically. Right now, the fastest growing population of hepatitis C infection is in white, rural, and urban community. I'm sorry, rural and suburban communities. So suddenly, it's coming into the limelight more, I guess, for lack of a better word. And what's interesting is the fastest increase in injection drugs is also among that same population. So, you know, it's a sad story that when it was happening to marginalized communities, there wasn't a lot of effort to address it. And now that it's happening to a different community, right, the white, rural, and suburban community, suddenly resources, to some extent, are being rallied to meet the need. So our hope is that as we move forward and as we make progress, that we don't leave those marginalized communities behind again.
And Chris, the needle exchange program being renewed in Monroe County, that allows you to continue your work in Monroe County. We've seen a shift from the state of emergency being declared, where several different counties had opened up needle exchange programs and what you call harm reduction programs. But it seems like recently there's been kind of a backlash, both in the local political spectrum, and then also with Attorney General Curtis Hill has repeatedly criticized needle exchange programs. And he's also had that criticism echoed by state prosecuting attorneys associations. Can you talk a little bit about kind of that ongoing battle between offering harm reduction programs and the political backlash that the Indiana Recovery Alliance, among other needle exchange programs and harm reduction programs, end up facing in the state?
Sure. I definitely don't want to overstate the case, though. I want to make it really clear that Attorney General Curtis Hill is alienated, and he is an outlier within his own party. So his views and the views of his office and fellow prosecutors are an anomaly within our political picture today. So I hope that listeners, again, understand that while it's more like two steps forward, a half a step backwards than any, like, turning of the tide, the general consensus, not only throughout Indiana, but through other states with similar political environments, like North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, is to move forward and in West Virginia and to treat this as a public health issue and not a criminal justice issue. Unfortunately, we have remnants within the criminal justice system who refuse to let go, as evidenced by Attorney General Curtis Hill and some of the prosecutors throughout the state, not all. And I think it's really important to remember, too, that overall, we're talking about really one syringe service program that got shut down. That was in Lawrence County. Because I think something that's not reported is Madison County was also, quote-unquote, shut down. But all of the people who were against that have since recanted, and that is set to reopen with a private community-based organization administering the program, Aspire Health Systems, I believe. again, there was there have been these like slight setbacks, but the overall momentum is a move towards public health response to this, a move away from criminal justice. And of course, we expect kind of like the dinosaurs that are really stuck in this, people that are trying to advance their political careers, and they can take advantage of vulnerable populations and throw them under the bus to advance themselves. You know, we completely expect that, looking historically at politicians who get tough on quote unquote crime as a vehicle for, you know, their other platforms. We're not surprised about the prosecutors. We're not surprised about Curtis Hill. And honestly, I'm not surprised about Lawrence County. Overall, the move is forward. And I honestly believe that we're on the right side of history.
Chris Abert with the Indiana Recovery Alliance. Chris, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Yeah, Wes, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.